she's real fine, my 409.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Well, I saved my pen.
Good Saturday morning to you. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. Your hosts, David Blessingame.
Good morning.
Tammy Pickard.
Hey.
Colby, a.k.a. Gargamel.
Hello.
We're never going to let you live that one down.
No, the mental pictures you get of Colby standing on those top ropes about to dive onto his opponent.
Yep, wearing a cape in the wrestling ring.
And a mask.
Yeah.
I've got pictures. I'll bring them sometime.
Please do. We can post those at our Autoflex Leasing Facebook page.
I promise we will post those, yes.
And it's officially December.
Happy December, everybody.
It's the first meteorological day of winter.
That's right.
The only reason I said that is because I actually learned how to say meteorological earlier before the show.
So. Try it three times fast.
No.
It's the M word.
We've got a phone number to the studio if you want to call us. If you have a question, maybe you're thinking about getting a new car for the holidays and you're going back and forth between a few different ones in your head. Now's the time to get some free expert advice. 877-881-1053 is our number. As always, you can send us Autoflex Leasing fan texts at 43733. And you can call Autoflex. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234. 888-234-1234 out of the area. And, of course, you can always go to autoflex.com and see the fabulous cars that we have for sale.
That's right.
Yes. We have some really fabulous cars for sale right now.
Always.
Yeah, we've been this big promotion.
Marvelous.
Yeah, we've been
marvelous. Marvelous, Dolly.
Fabulous.
We've had a big promotion on people trading in their cars early, leaving their leases early because they could. And so we've like 2012 Suburbans. We got, if you wanted a Honda Pilot or a Honda Odyssey, I think we've got 5 Honda Odysseys and 7 Honda Pilots to choose from. And these are all 2011 and 2012 vehicles.
That amazes me.
Factory warranty, and they're great cars, mm-hmm. You know, that kind of thing. So
the Honda Pilot is fantastic.
Yeah.
It's comfortable. It's big.
You haul all your family, your dogs, your Christmas goodies.
Yep.
Anything you need to transport to grandma's house.
That's right.
I actually, 2 of my kids have Honda Odysseys just because they're just great family cars,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And they've got little kids.
Gotta give a quick hello to Karen. She's probably listening right now. She was at our Rage broadcast yesterday in Arlington, and she said, Sybil, I listen to you on the Saturday Morning Test Drive every week on my way into work, and I just love Tammy. I think she's so funny. So, hello, Karen. Be safe at work while you're driving, or be safe driving into work, and have a good day. Thanks for listening.
Hi, Karen. Thanks for the compliment.
Yeah, Karen, thanks for thinking about me.
Nobody here thinks I'm funny, so I'm glad you do.
We do.
No, we think you're funny.
I love Tammy Pickard.
I love Sybil.
877-881-1053 is our phone number. Let's head out to Denton and talk to Katie. Or is it Kathy?
Katie.
Katie.
What's your name?
Colby spelled your name K-A-T-T-Y.
It's okay. I do that all the time.
Unusual spelling. Hi, Katie.
I currently drive a tiny little two-door car, and I teach on the road. I need to have a compact SUV, something that can carry a lot of stuff, but has great gas mileage because I'm driving 1,000 miles a month. What are your suggestions?
The first two that come to mind would be the Honda CR-V or the Toyota RAV4.
Mainly because they are compact and they have great resale value. I mean, in my opinion, those are my two favorite things. Great resale value, because if you are driving those kind of miles, you still want to be able to sell it for something when you're finished with it. How much cargo space do you need?
I need a good bit. I teach softer kits. I'm carrying around golf clubs. I'm carrying around set up stuff and my own stuff.
Okay. Right. I think that would easily, either one of those would work
for you. The other thing you can, I mean, if you're driving 1,000 miles, you say, how much do you drive?
1,000 miles a month.
It's probably around 1,000 miles a month at least.
Okay, well, that's not a lot. That's 12,000 miles a year. So you could look at a lease on one of those cars that would give you a very low payment, that would also give you a time that you would want to trade. If you set that up so it sort of matched the warranty, you'd be protected. But with the CR-V or the RAV4, they're both pretty well trouble-free cars. You're not going to have a lot of issues or problems with them because they run really well. The other opportunity would be to pick one up that's maybe a year or two old and save some money that way.
And if you can do a lease, if you're using your vehicle for business, maybe the business write-off of doing the lease would be easier to calculate than trying to calculate the write-off, you know, whenever you're doing your taxes.
Sure.
The lease is very easy to calculate a write-off. So that's something that you might want to talk to your CPA about.
Okay.
To compare on the lease. I like those. I also like the Nissan product, but the Murano doesn't have a whole lot of cargo space behind that back seat. You have to fold the seats down, and then you have a lot of cargo space. So if that's not a problem, it's very comfortable to ride around in. The seats are very comfortable. Now, the Rogue is a little smaller and compact. It's awfully cute, but that won't give you nearly the cargo space.
Yeah.
Does that help?
That does help. Thank you very much.
And if you want to come to AutoFlex to check out a bunch of different models, I highly, strongly suggest that you do that, because we can make it so simple. You can look at those vehicles as well as everything else that is on the market and compare for yourself what you like the very best. Then we can run leases and retail numbers for you so that you can choose budget-wise what's going to work best for you too. And that way it's one-stop shopping. It's kind of like going to Costco to get everything that you need,
mm-hmm.
your wine and your Cheerios.
Right.
You can do that at AutoFlex too. So hopefully we'll see you there, Katie.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks, right. Katie.
Thank you, Katie.
Let's talk about insurance today, because David, I know we briefly talked about this yesterday. And a lot of people wonder who they call and what happens. And if any time you get into a fender bender, does my insurance cover that? Does their insurance cover that?
I am surprised. Well, I'm surprised at how many people don't want to claim their hail damage because they're afraid their rates are going to go up.
Yes.
Yeah,
that does not affect your rates. It's not your fault.
Exactly. Things that aren't your fault generally don't affect your rates. And ever since James William Lambert may have had the first automotive accident in history in Ohio City, Ohio, when his one-cylinder horseless carriage struck a tree root and veered into a fence pole, we've all been dealing with what happens when you hit stuff. And so here's a quick primer, if you would, on what happens when you hit anything. Say it's an animal. What happens if you run into a deer? What coverages work if you hit a cow, you
no,
know?
No, she didn't.
Comprehensive coverage covers your car for damage that is not caused by a car accident. So, if you run into an animal, or if your car is hailed on, or if it is involved in a flood, then your comprehensive coverage would cover your car. And claims on comprehensive, just like Tammy said, don't affect your premiums. It doesn't make your premium go up.
What about a pothole?
Now, a pothole is different. That's going to be collision coverage. And so if you have collision coverage, then you're going to have to use your collision coverage for a pothole. So if you hit another car, your collision coverage pays for your car, and your liability coverage pays for the other person's car.
That's why you have to have at least the minimum is liability. For like if your car is paid off, your minimum state required insurance is liability so that you can take care of the other people.
Exactly. Everyone's required to carry liability so that if you run into somebody, your insurance pays for their car.
Okay.
Collision, you can carry whether you want or whether you don't want, but it's what pays for your car.
If
you're at fault.
If you're at fault.
They're at fault, their liability insurance pays for your car, and their collision insurance would pay for their car.
So that's the best case scenario. It's not your fault.
Right.
But what happens if you run into your garage?
Oh.
It's your fault.
People do that, but here's the thing. Your collision.
Your husband curses at you.
That's first.
What happens.
That's the first thing. You did what? Your collision coverage would cover your car, and your homeowner's insurance covers the garage.
Oh.
How about that?
What if you run into your neighbor's garage?
Your homeowner's insurance covers his garage.
Wow.
And
no,
your collision
I bet it's all
coverage.
Car. I bet it's
and
all
your,
car.
No? Your collision cover? No, your homeowners. Okay. If your neighbor falls in your backyard and breaks his arm, your homeowner's insurance covers that.
Okay, I'll try not to trip you up anymore.
Okay, good. Yeah, that'd be really nice. Anyway, I thought we were on one team here.
That's right.
Anyway, a couple of things to mention, though. If you hit something big, like if you hit the gas instead of the brake and you drive through the front of a store, your liability insurance is what covers that damage. Think about how much damage you could do driving through the front of Neiman Marcus.
Oh, gosh.
Oh. Yeah.
Thousands upon thousands.
And then hitting all those rich people.
What? I'm talking about wiping out all those clothes and stuff in the windows.
Were the mannequins screaming just then.
That was. They're loud little boogers.
They are.
Anyway, most people don't carry enough liability coverage.
So that's why you need an umbrella policy?
That's why you need an umbrella policy. And you can get a $1 million umbrella policy for very, very little money. And here's why you need it. This happened to us at Autoflex 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. One of our employees was driving a car, and he was struck by another car on the highway. And the other car totaled out our car. So his liability insurance paid for our car, except he didn't have enough coverage to pay for the car.
Because he had the state minimum.
Exactly.
Which wasn't even enough to cover the expensive car that our guy was driving.
And it wasn't even that expensive a car. It was a Tahoe LT. It was a 2010 Tahoe LT, so it was a $30,000 car. This guy had a $25,000 limit of liability coverage. So
that's all the state requires.
All you carry. All the state requires. So here's the deal: it paid $25,000, and guess what? Our insurance pays for the balance. And guess what? Our insurance does
raises the rate.
Nope, they go after him.
They sue him.
Oh,
okay.
They sue him, and now he will end up with a lawsuit, a lien, something, or he'll have to pay that difference off to our insurance company because they go after him for that money.
So this is why you want to have enough liability insurance or an umbrella policy to cover like your home, your car, anything that your teenagers could do to you.
Driving through the front of, Well, and there's other circumstances too. You know, people, we've had this, I had this personally. I had my daughter backed into a car. This has been years ago. A car was driving through a parking lot. She backed out and struck the door of a car. It was going, everybody's moving no miles an hour, right? Well, the driver of the car suddenly developed back problems.
Oh, gosh.
And wanted to sue because they had back problems. Well, they wanted to sue me personally, but guess what? I have insurance. So my insurance stepped in and handled that. Now, I don't know what they finally did on it. I don't care. That's why you have that liability coverage, though, is when someone sues you or wants to pursue you, you want coverage on that.
Mm-hmm.
Minimum insurance anyone should carry would be 100, 300, and 50.
Meaning 100,000 is what?
100,000 collision, 300 liability, 50 property damage.
Okay.
And that's the minimum you want to carry. It doesn't cost much more to carry a $1 million umbrella for your liability. And if you do that, you don't really have to worry a whole lot about a lot of things. And if you've got a small business, you really, really need to protect yourself because you could be sued while driving your car. You're involved in an accident. They could sue you. And because you have a small business, that could involve your business. You want coverage to pay for those kind of things.
I think an umbrella policy is a really wise idea for families, especially if you have teen drivers, because any of us can do something really silly,
right?
You know, cause an accident. But teen drivers are the least experienced, and we're coming up on a story later about how teen drivers text a whole lot more than parents believe they do.
Mm. Right?
My child wouldn't do that.
No.
No. Is that what your mom says, Sim?
Yeah, probably so.
Okay. Was your mom a distracted driver?
She wasn't a distracted driver so much, but she was a lead foot. I mean, she hauls booty when she drives. That's where I got it from.
How do you drive? Okay, we're going to talk about that later in the show about how children's behavior behind the wheel is determined by their parents a lot.
I can totally see that.
Well, I mean, of course. Yeah. Who's raising the kid?
Right. You're
who's
always
the influence?
In that car, and that's who you see. So we got to take a quick break here, but we'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back. It is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. David Blassingame singing along to the song. Tammy Pickard, Colby Sapp, and me, Sybil. 877-881-1053 is the phone number here.
Who sung that song?
I don't know.
Beach Boys.
Oh, is it the Beach Boys?
Certainly it is.
I was going to guess another old band like the Yardbirds or something.
I want to say,
the Beach Boys are from California.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yes. Yardbirds, not so much.
Oh, okay.
I want to say hey to Larry Mendoza, who is on his way down to Autoflex in Richardson.
Hey, Larry.
To meet with John and look at, I think, a couple of our Suburban and a GMC Yukon XL today because he needs something larger for his big family. So, hey, Larry. Just wanted to say hi. I told you I was going to say hello to you today.
Enjoy your new car, Larry. Our phone number is 877-881-1053. Let's check in with Robert in Dallas. Good morning, Robert. You're on with David,
hey,
Tammy, and Sybil.
How are you? Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, listen, actually, I'm a property casualty adjuster, and one tip we always tell our policyholders is if you're in an incident, no matter how minor, like he was talking about the minor little fender bender with his daughter, everyone has a camera on their phone now. Start taking pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Take pictures of both vehicles. Take pictures of the people in the vehicle. If you can stand at like all four corners of the vehicle of each vehicle, it shows every angle. That way, you know, there's prior damage to that vehicle, you know, shown. And hell, even if you can get the person that you were in the accident with to point, you know, like bend over and like point to the actual point
right.
of impact,
right.
it shows them in the act of bending over for those, you know, back injuries and stuff that flare up.
Hey, Robert?
I mean, yes, sir.
Maybe you can help with this also, because we have an Autoflex leasing fan texter that's texted in and says, can you explain the theory of a broken chain of events? I work for an insurance company, and people try to claim two or three different things on one claim. Can you speak to that?
Sure. Well, give me an example.
Well, I don't know.
Well, I think probably what they're talking about is the car is involved in an accident, and the impact is to the right rear corner, and they claim that the water pump or the power steering pump now has gone out because of the impact.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's just that's kind of a slam dunk whenever we see something like that. I mean, if it's not attributed to the accident, we just deny it. You know, I mean, everyone has the, you know, they have the right to make that claim, but as far as granting it or paying for it, that's something completely different. If it didn't happen in the accident, it just didn't happen. I mean, it happens all the time. They'll claim that they're going to, I mean, I've even heard like now my radio doesn't work. Okay, well, it's just crazy things. But unfortunately, that's why insurance policies or premiums are higher these days, are because it costs money to investigate stuff like that.
Of course. Well, I'm curious about the fact that all these cars now have computers, practically like a smartphone. If you drop your smartphone and it can break because it takes a big jar, right?
Yes,
well, what if these cars that have similar computers in them take a big jar from an accident? Can that damage one of those computers? Is that the next thing that's going to be starting to fail or be replaced in cars when they have an accident? That's a pretty heavy impact.
I could see that happening in the future, but actually it's beneficial in many, many ways, because those computers now tell us, you know, how hard an impact is, or if the brakes were applied before an impact, or stuff like that. And it's used in a court of law. I mean, it's like a little black box. I mean,
interesting.
Like in an airplane. It's moving in the right direction. I mean, I think it's really going to help us out.
Well, and you talked about the little black box. I don't know that everyone understands that their car more than likely has one. Do you want to speak to that for a moment?
Sure, yeah. And we've, a lot of vehicles, you know, have had those for a number of years. They just don't really know about it. For example, like if you're looking at your vehicle and a check engine light's on, you know, you can go to any AutoZone and they'll just plug right into it, and they can tell, you know, they can do a small diagnostics of what's happening and why that check engine light is on. You know, they'll tell you, you know, filter or whatever, missing spark plug. Well, think of that in the terminology of an auto accident. It's the same thing. You can plug into that thing and it'll tell you, you know, if an airbag went off or how fast you were going at the point of impact. You know,
it tells all of that.
It's some have those now, but I think in the future every vehicle will have that.
How often do you deal with situations where people's insurance coverage is not enough to pay for the damage that is caused, say, the liability damage on the other side?
Actually, probably about maybe 20-30%.
That's a lot, then.
Yeah, it is. And what happens is, as soon as you, especially with multi-car accidents, you know, as soon as that policy limit is hit, you know, you have to kick out a letter to your insurance or to your policyholder and let them know, hey, man, you have an exposure problem. You know, FYI, you know, you're going to start getting phone calls from other people.
Yeah, they're coming after you.
Yeah, and I tell you what really sucks is, like, we had one not too long ago where a guy's just going down the road. He was moving. He had, like, a chair in the back of his truck that wasn't properly secured. It flies out and causes, like, a 20-car accident, a 20-car pileup.
Oh, my wow. gosh.
Not necessarily, like, a pileup, but, I mean, there were, like, there was damage to 20 different vehicles. And, yeah, I mean, he had minimal coverage, and we just called him up. We were like, hey, man, sorry, but... not only are people going to come after you, but we got to drop you.
one other quick circumstance I want you to talk about, because people don't understand this. So this guy has a chair in the back of his truck. If it flies out and strikes another car before it touches the ground, what coverage is in effect? And if it flies out and bounces and then hits another car, what coverage is in effect?
Well, it's all going to be under your collision coverage.
It's all collision.
It won't be under comprehension. It'll be under your collision coverage. And your property damage, most policy limits are minimal, are just bodily injury and property damage.
Right.
Your comp and your collision is something that covers your vehicle, so it'd be your property damage that would cover that. But you are, you know, that chair was the approximate cause of the entire incident, so he would be liable for it,
whether it bounces or not.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Interesting.
Thank you so much, Robert.
Robert, that was very informative. We appreciate you.
And thanks for listening.
There he goes. So lots of insurance information here, which is good.
Yeah. No, it's great to have listeners that are, you know, that are in the business that call in and share with us.
So as high as 30% of the accidents, people do not have high enough liability coverage.
Yeah.
So that means
everybody needs to take a really good look. You don't have enough money. I mean, you don't have you have to have enough money to protect yourself.
Mm-hmm. And we need to protect ourselves. You know, that uninsured and underinsured motorist section that we can get it.
Yeah.
Because you have to think about how many people don't even have insurance or are underinsured, like the fellow that, you know, had the chair fly out of the car.
And the other thing that everyone should carry is replacement vehicle coverage, because rental car coverage for yourself is terribly, terribly inexpensive. Mm. And if your car is in an accident, whether it's your fault or not, it puts you in a substitute vehicle while your car's in the shop.
Or a hailstorm.
So, well, no, actually, it doesn't work well for hailstorms, but it does for collision. So get that rental car coverage. It's very inexpensive. They don't talk about it a lot because it is so inexpensive. I don't think it's a big moneymaker for the insurance companies, but it is a big thing if you have to put your car in the shop. It gets you to work and back.
Right.
Yeah.
So when they go after somebody, like you mentioned, the guy who had hit the Tahoe, the Autoflex Tahoe.
Right.
And his insurance covered what they could, but then there was more money, so they went after him on a personal level. The insurance company did. What happens if he just doesn't have the money to pay it? Does it go?
They'll put a lien on him so that anytime he sells something, they'll be able to capture whatever he gets from that. Uh-huh. A lot of times they try to work out a payment plan with people. So people make payments against the loss, like you would make a car payment, and they pay so much a month until it's paid off.
I know a girl that had an accident like that in California, and it worked like that. She was on a monthly payout plan. She said, I pretty much have to pay $100 a month for the rest of my life.
Ay, ay, ay. That gets pricey.
Mm-hmm. Well, you see, the insurance company is going to be there forever, and all they care about is recovering their loss.
Right.
So they don't mind if it takes 10 years.
Does it get reported to the credit bureau?
We're going to talk about that. Let's start talking about that now, and we'll finish up after the break. But the Consumer Fraud and Protection Bureau, the CFPB, is over a lot of things. They govern a lot of things. Now, the CFPB is an interesting bureau because, number one, it doesn't answer to anyone. It's not bound by Congress. It's not bound. There's no one. It's
kind of like me.
It's out there on its own, kind of like Tammy.
Snap.
Yeah. And so they can do pretty well whatever they want to do. And if you're in business, you need to be concerned because they can control how you do your business and what happens. And now they are looking at our credit bureaus because people have written in and complained about not being able to easily access their own credit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a problem because you were guaranteed a right to access your credit bureau, and you were also guaranteed a right to be able to protest or to change things on your bureau that aren't accurate. And the CFPB is now starting to look at the credit bureaus and how they handle complaints and access to people's personal information. And I'm going to bet we've got a lot of listeners that have dealt with the credit bureau for inaccuracies, and trying to get things off, or just trying to get a copy of their own credit bureau. So we'll begin after the break. We'll come back and we'll talk a little bit about that and what the CFPB is doing, and maybe get some information from our listeners.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing, with David Blessingame, Tammy Pickard, Colby, and me, Sybil. Our phone number is 877-881-1053. Our AutoFlex Leasing fan text is 43733. And if you want to call AutoFlex, they're open today. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972. 234-1234, 888-234-1234 if you're out of the area. You can always go to AutoFlex.com, see all the great cars there. Here's what else you can do at AutoFlex.com. You can click on our Facebook, and if you like our Facebook, you can read all of the stories we're going to do today and a lot more automotive stories, like the last sob story that you'll probably ever read.
Sob, S-A-A-B.
S-A-A-B.
We're talking about credit bureaus and a new government agency, Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
Exactly.
What is it and what do they do?
Well, you know what? They're a bureau that was set up by the government to protect consumers from business situations that are not right, or what they deem to be not right. One of the biggest problems that people have is dealing with their credit bureau. I know a lot of people, I've had things on my credit bureau that were not actually accurate. I had a bill I paid one time, and it showed up to be unpaid, and I had to go back in. It was quite a hassle, actually,
it
to
is.
Get that off my credit bureau.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to be hard to deal with, they tend to be distant. You have to call somebody, or you can only email in, or you can't call someone and speak
right.
on the phone.
Got to be in writing.
And it has to be in writing, and you can't. So it's difficult to go in and get things changed if they are incorrect on your credit bureau. And it's also difficult to reach the credit bureaus to get a report.
Mm-hmm.
So the CFPB has put out a warning letter this last week to the big three, which are the big three credit reporting agencies, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, to let them know that they're looking at their business practices and that they're not happy with the accessibility that people have I'm looking at you, like the Robert De Niro thing.
In Meet the Fockers.
Yes. We're looking at you and how you handle this, because we don't believe that it's easy enough for people to access their credit bureaus, and we don't believe it's easy enough for people to challenge or to change their credit bureaus.
Which is true, because we've all heard the old, if you have your credit pulled too often, it'll lower your score. So you don't ever want to pull it, but then you're supposed to check it and see if there's anything that doesn't belong to you.
So that's really one of the big things. Now, and people need to understand, if you're out shopping, say, for a car, because we deal with this at AutoFlex all the time. People lease cars from us. People buy cars from us. And they shop other places. So you might go 8 or 9 places to shop for a car. Now, number one, if you tell them all not to pull your credit, you're never going to get a real price. Because no one can talk to you about how much something is until they've seen your personal credit bureau.
Well, if you're making payments, if you're going to write a check, they can tell you the bottom line number. Boom, you're done. But if you need to finance it.
How many people write a check?
Right.
Probably not a lot.
Not a whole lot.
If you need to finance the vehicle, we have to see your credit to give you an accurate number.
Which is another thing. Anybody that tells you a number on a car, said, oh, yeah, you can buy it for so-and-so, or, oh, yeah, here's your monthly
like
payments.
Like the ads on TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, here's your monthly payments. None
Based
of that's real.
What? Right.
Because if they haven't seen your personal credit, there's no way they can qualify you for whatever program they're advertising. That's why when you see those $189, I always like that, $189 a month, drive this car for. Well, maybe if you've got an 850 credit bureau and you've got a car you're trading in and all the things are just right.
All the best case scenarios.
Mm-hmm. But most people don't deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, if you've got a problem with a credit bureau, you do have a right. You don't have to go to someone to get it done. You can do it yourself. If you're out shopping for a car and they pull your credit 10 times, the credit systems are set up so that it doesn't lower your score every time your credit is pulled if it's within a short period of time when you're shopping for a certain item.
Interesting.
Yeah. So if you need to have your credit pulled for now here's the other thing. If you have your credit pulled 4 times over a long period of time, it will drop your credit score about 10 points. That's not much.
Right.
Well, but it can change the difference between an A-tier and a B-tier.
Well, and that's the other thing. Credit scores are set up at breakpoints. Mm-hmm. So you've got 740 and above, 720 to 740, above 700. And a lot of lenders use different criteria
to determine some lenders, your risk.
Yeah, some lenders may give you the best rate out there if you're 700 and above. Some lenders may require 740 and above. Some lenders may require 750 and above to get you the best rate.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important to be able to access your credit bureau, deal with the credit bureaus. If there's a problem, get it fixed easily. And the CFPB has put the credit bureaus on warning that they got to make it easier. Because mm-hmm. it is tough right
and
now.
And they need to be accurate, because if somebody with a name similar to yours took out a cell phone and didn't pay the bill, and because you have a similar name and maybe your Social Security number is very close and you might have lived in the same city, I'm just assuming here, those were enough matching things that, boom, it's on your credit bureau. Now you have to be the one to fight to get it off.
Right.
Now you have to prove you're not guilty.
And one of
whatever happened to innocent till proven guilty?
It doesn't work on credit.
On credit, hey, it's guilty till you prove you're innocent.
Exactly.
Hey, listen, one of the other big things is if your name is Robert Smith or Robert White or any two names you can imagine that are very common, then you can end up with other people's stuff on your credit bureau. It happens all the time.
And listen, if dad has terrible credit, don't name your son the same name.
Oh, good thinking.
Don't do that to the junior, because it's all going to wind up on his credit.
And if you have a junior like I do, the first thing I told him was, you better keep your credit good. I'm just telling you, because we're actually born on the same day.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, just 31 years apart.
So that does get tricky if you're worried about getting crossed wires.
Mm-hmm. We've got some fan texters here. Good program today. Thank you. I have a 16-year-old due to get a license in January. Had never thought about an umbrella policy. We'll definitely look into it. Thanks, Jack. Jack, thanks for listening.
And he uses my term. My favorite.
Okay, talking about black boxes in cars, Progressive has this is another Autoflex leasing fan texter. Progressive has a product they call Snapshot. It's a gadget you plug into your car. That is not the same thing as the black box in the car. The black box in the car is put there by the manufacturer, and it's made to help them do diagnostics when you bring your car in for service if it has a problem. There are other benefits, though, that different folks can derive from that black box, because it does keep track of how fast you were going at a certain time. If you have an accident, there's a lot that, as our earlier caller said, they can determine just by plugging into this black box. There's also an access question with black boxes. Courts are deciding whether or not everyone can have access, whether you need a search warrant to have access. I know in the case of serious crimes, murders and things like that, that the courts do give the right to investigators to access that. The police probably always have access to it if they want it. Insurance investigators, maybe not so much.
Right. You just mentioned the Autoflex leasing fan text from Jack, whose 16-year-old is about to start driving. Hopefully Jack is a good driver, because that teenager is probably going to get some driving hints from him.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, a new study from Toyota and the University of Michigan's Transportation Research Institute shows that, guess what? Your kids learn how to drive from you.
As soon as the car seat starts facing forward.
That's when they start learning.
That's where they learn about road rage. Mm-hmm. That's where they learn about distracted driving. If you start hunting for things in your purse or the center console while you're driving, if you eat while you're driving, if you talk on the phone while you're driving, guess who else is going to do it? Your kids.
Makes total sense.
It does. Well, you said you learned it. I'm the same way.
You learned your driving habits from your parents?
My mother was a lead foot.
Yes, mine too.
I have to fight that all the time because,
I got it from her. I'm always flying wherever I go, even if I'm not in a hurry. Like sometimes on the way home from work, I'll be going 80 miles an hour and Richie will be in the front seat and he'll go, why are you in such a hurry to get home? I'm like, I'm just in a hurry to get where I'm going, to be out of the car.
I know.
I'm always flying.
You're in a hurry to be in a hurry.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I'm just wound up too tight.
I know people that always want to be in front of everybody else. Whatever group on the highway, they have to be in the front. Everybody has to be following them. And then they'll have a gap of no cars for a while. And then when they get up to that next group of cars, they weave through all that group until they're at the front again.
Yeah.
Like, what
is it? I think it's not NASCAR, actually.
Well, and you know, here's what their study found. 71% of teenagers believe their parents read or write down directions while driving, while only 55% of the parents say they do. Now, wait a minute. Let's think about those numbers. 55% of the parents actually admit reading and writing down things and looking for directions while they're driving. That's a little scary.
But there's 70% of the kids are saying it happens.
Because they're telling the truth.
Well, and the other thing is we forget what we really do.
Yes.
You know, regardless of whether you're trying to be honest or not. Oh, I don't think I ever... Well,
right.
Yes, I do.
I always read directions, and it's a really bad thing to do. But if I'm trying to find out where I'm going, I'm constantly looking at my phone.
Well, and I think I said this on the air a couple of times. I've gotten to where I put my phone in my briefcase and I put it in the back seat now because it's the only way
right.
I can stay away from it. Because I know that if it's within my reach, I'm going to reach over, especially if it rings. I can just push a button if it rings and I can talk.
Mm-hmm.
But
and
I don't.
You know why he has
I look
done
to
this?
See who calls.
You know why he has done this? Because of all the finger wagging we've done in this show.
Oh, good.
And all the stories we have done on the show, he's finally beginning to learn.
So it worked.
I think this is beginning to get into his head.
Although my mom was always a speeder, she never was a distracted driver. And it actually, my sister and I, you mentioned hunting through the purse.
Right.
My sister and I would fight over who got to sit in the back seat because whoever was sitting in the front seat had to be the gopher. You're like, can you hand me that drink and will you undo the lid and will you reach in my purse and grab my hairbrush? And so we were always like, back seat instead of shotgun. Because we didn't want to have to work while we were riding in the car.
That's great.
That's greatness. I love it.
We got to take a quick break, but we'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Autoflex Lease, oh yeah.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. David Blessingame, Tammy Pickard, Colby, and me, Sybil. Autoflex Leasing fan texts are coming in fast and furious now at 43733. David, my 8-year-old is constantly reminding me to use my blinker, and the driver's ed class that my 16-year-old just completed comes flowing out whenever I'm driving.
How about that?
I can totally buy that.
Yeah, so maybe parents can learn from their kids?
Mm-hmm.
Well, those refreshers, you know, any time that I want to be recharged in life, I go to my self-help books or you go to those rah-rah sessions and you're always it's the reason we go to church every week. You know, you got to remember to be good.
Right?
Every week you have to be reminded. It's the same with a car.
It is.
Yeah, and any time you don't do something for a while, you get rusty. So
right.
If you don't use your blinker all the time, you tend to forget to use it.
It's only fair to use the blinker.
Another Autoflex Leasing fan text. I'm a junior and all my dad's bad credit, but none of the good shows up on my credit report.
Yep,
that's how it goes.
Okay, let's talk about texting while driving.
Well, yeah, because they have the study that they've done have found a lot of people do text. A lot more teenagers text than parents believe they do. Their parents are like, oh, my child wouldn't do that.
Right, I've taught him well.
But they're out there texting their little butts off. So here's the deal.
Their little fingers off.
For those that cannot, like me, that cannot stay away from the phone, there's actually an app for that now.
Oh.
Yes. And which makes you, well, we'll deal with that in a minute, but it makes you really wonder why they don't just build it into the phone. But now there's an app called Drive Mode, and it's a free download from AT&T, and it limits a phone's functionability while you're driving. So you
But you
can't.
Have to activate it.
Yeah.
You have to turn it on.
Exactly. You have to turn it on.
Oh, so you would have to rely on your kid turning it on every time they got in the car?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, and how's that going to work?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, it will allow you to call up to 5 people if you absolutely need to, but you can't get a text while you're driving. In fact, while you're driving, if a text comes in, it silences your phone so you don't hear it, and it automatically sends a text back that goes, hey, get back with you later. I'm driving right now.
Yeah.
So,
and the iPhone 5, I know with Siri, it has that text, the voice text.
Mm-hmm.
So you can ask her to read the text to you, ask Siri to read the text to you, and then you can send a message back,
mm-hmm.
all voice, which is kind of cool.
I love that. I wish, because my car with the Bluetooth, Siri somehow and Bluetooth don't get along.
Right.
And so whenever I try to talk to Siri, it totally botches what I'm saying.
No, I think they don't translate well.
No, they don't.
I don't think they do.
Well, I think you'd have to make sure the phone isn't connected to the car in order to make it work.
I don't know. There's probably
we'll
a way around it. Yeah.
Experiment.
And that I haven't figured out.
Well, and there are other apps that you can go and get that will limit the ability of the phone to work while it's moving.
But again, we have to activate these, so there's got to be a little self-discipline.
Yeah, and you know, for someone like me, maybe that's probably, I can throw them out of the back seat and it works.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, but if I, again, I know if I don't, I'll be on it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so many other people the same way.
Autoflex fan texter, I owe $20K even on my current 09 Accord with 51,000 miles. I am thinking of leasing. Is it worth it when I owe this much? Well, I'd have to look at the value of your car, but here's the situation. The leasing isn't the question. Leasing is a good idea because it will eliminate this negative equity situation. If we take you out of this Honda, even if you do have some negative equity to roll into the new lease, when you finish the next lease, your negative equity is gone. You have completed the lease. There's nothing to roll forward into the next car loan or lease, and then you're done. That's one of the brilliant things about leasing. You have options, and you can't be upside down if you structure the lease to match exactly your driving habits. So if you drive 20,000 miles a year and you want to keep your car for 3 years, that's what we do, a three-year lease that allows you 60,000 miles, and when you're done, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other thing is, if you do owe $20,000 on an 09 Honda Accord, really it doesn't matter which model you're in, you owe more than the car's worth, and so many people end up in this situation.
Because you finance a car for 5 or 6 years,
exactly.
You drive more miles than you can, you know, where the car depreciates faster than you can pay for it, and
well,
boom, there you are.
And people
down.
Don't realize how a car depreciates, but and we're going to talk about this in just a minute, because ALG and Kelley Blue Book have both put out their best resale models for the year, so we'll talk briefly about that. Here's how a car depreciates. When you take delivery of it, it loses between 20% and 30%, real number, of the total amount of the value of the car.
Right,
so
day one.
Yeah, if you buy a $30,000 car, it's going to lose between $7,000 to $8,000.
You did math on the air.
I screwed it up. Anyway, you're going to lose $6,000 to $8,000 instantly when the car drives off the lot.
Well, you only lose it if you tried to sell the car instantly. Okay.
The car loses that value though.
Right.
After that, it loses between 4% and 6% a year for the next 5 years. So the first drop is the big drop, and that's really what you're spreading out over the period of time you finance the car. So if you finance a car for 5 years, you spread that big loss out over a longer period of time, or 6 years, even a longer time. But the car has actually lost that much value. The bank, however, when they start collecting your payments, guess what? They take all their credit, their interest up
their
front.
Their profit. Mm-hmm.
So you're making payments of $400 a month. $398 of that goes to the bank.
Yes.
And $2 goes to the car.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to a mortgage.
Right.
Exactly. But the car has lost 20 to 30% of its value. So you're paying a long time before you begin to pay into the value of the car.
Mm-hmm.
That's why people are like this. They've got an 09 Honda that they owe $20,000 on that's worth, I don't know, 12,
okay, but
13?
Here's the deal. If all cars are going to depreciate like that, they will not hold their value. Unlike a house, you know, you hope your house is going to hold its value, and that's an investment. A car is not an investment. That's why a lease is brilliant, because you just pay for the depreciation. You pay for the part of the car you want to use, and you're not losing the money. You're renting the car while you use it. And this works for people who want to drive a newer or a different car every 3 to 5 years. You should lease. If you will drive the wheels off your car and keep it for 12 years, buy it.
Yeah.
But if you want to keep your car, trade your car, keep it in warranty, 3 to 5 years, leasing is the way to go, because it'll keep you from feeling that loss.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely. And it looks like it'll be next week before we discuss the rankings on resale. But
you can go to Facebook, AutoFlex Facebook.
You can go to AutoFlex Facebook, and you can read ALG, which is the Bible for us, Automotive Lease Guide, or Kelley Blue Book, and you can see all of their ratings on the cars that they say have the best resale value. And I think the interesting thing for me on these two comparisons is they say the same thing, basically.
Oh.
Because it's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, certain cars resell better, which means that when you finish with the car, you're going to get more for it, or if you lease the car, your monthly payments are going to be less because the resale value is better on the car.
And if you want some advice about the best vehicle to drive, the best value, whether you should buy or lease, depending upon your financial situation, the goals that you have, how long you want to keep the car, call AutoFlex. We will, all of our specialists there are professionals. They're brilliant. They'll tell you all the information you need to know. 817 or 972-234-1234.
Okay. AutoFlex Leasing Fantester. All right. As long as y'all are talking about depreciation, I got a question. The four-door Wrangler is coming up on 5 years in the marketplace. What are they selling for used?
All the money.
They're great resale cars.
All the money.
Yeah. Wranglers, they maintain resale value like almost like nothing else. They maintain resale value like a Honda.
Nice.
Basically, or a Toyota.
All right, we'll be back next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. In the meantime, Tammy just gave you the phone numbers, or you can go to autoflex.com. Thank you to Colby for helping us out today. Coming up next, it's the G-Bag Nation, a special Saturday edition. For David Blassingame and Tammy Pickard, I am Sybil Summers. This has been the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.